Today, I want to discuss something very important that whites everywhere don't really understand. And it's absolutely critical to understand this. It is, how do Jews control the politics of the entire Western world? I don't think Jews control every single portion of every single small country, but Jews definitely control a massive amount of politics. Jews control major countries in Europe and in North America. Canada and America are very much under the Jewish thumb. But Britain has also been under Jewish control for at least 300 years now. And how are Jews going to control the politics of the Western world in the future? Well, the Jews are already busy with their new tactics. And it's going to be a nightmare for whites to know who's who in this Jewish zoo. But let me give you some examples from what I've observed and what I've learned from other whites and which other whites have corroborated. The way Jews control politics in the Western world is through influencing mainly the political parties, gaining control of political parties. But Jews use many mechanisms, and this is also very important to understand. They don't just use direct infiltration, they also use money. And they come to a political party and they offer to give them money as long as they follow out on the Jewish script. Let me explain some of the Jewish tactics I've observed, and then I'll discuss other deeper things. In Britain, there was a man named John Tyndall. John Tyndall, in his earlier days, was probably a Nazi. And John Tyndall worked hard in British politics to do things for white people. John Tyndall stood up for even countries like South Africa. He was a lone voice. He was fighting his lone battle in Britain. And John Tyndall learned many things. And John Tyndall did many, many good things in Britain. And he's still a topic I want to return to. Truly, John Tyndall did amazing stuff in Britain. A lone British man fighting like crazy for white people. Standing up to Jews. Standing up for his race. Now, as the years went by, John Tyndall seems to have become softened. Because the people have become softened. All around the Western world, you will find that the trend of public opinion and culture is towards softness. But it's a weird kind of softness. It's the kind of softness that says, no, no, men mustn't do this, men mustn't do that, men are brutal, men are cruel to women, men are oppressors, men are slave drivers, men are killers. And then it goes and says, oh, but it's okay for one man to butt fuck another man. And you know what? Pedophilia, that's not such a bad thing at all. Hey, let everybody do any weird thing they want to do. It's absolutely okay. So you'll find that if you study it more closely, you'll see a lot of different points in there. Every one of them is anti-white, and every one of them helps the Jews. So we've got this worldwide trend in the Western world towards a softer world where people don't own guns, but pedophiles can do what they want to do. Jewish criminals can do what they want to do. Treason is no longer treason. It's a twisted world. It's a world that's anti-white, especially anti-white male, and it always helps the Jews. It takes the Jewish weaknesses and turns them into strengths. It takes the white male's strengths, turns them into weaknesses. Takes the white woman, sets the white woman against the white man. A bunch of ugly old fucking Jewish hags have actually managed to convince beautiful white women who've got motherly tendencies, strong family tendencies, and it's destroyed their minds. It's sent them on a crusade against their own men, against their own race. You will even find young people, and by the way, only young white people, as far as I know, who are taking vows of chastity to never have children. White people are told to never have children. When I was young, we were told the world is going to be overpopulated. We must have less children. And the entire Western world had less children. Whites continuously had less children because the world's going to be overpopulated. Never once did they say to the blacks or the Asians that they should slow down having children. Instead, everything is done to see to it that blacks get money and medical aid even when they are starving, even when they did all kinds of stupid things. When they are dying, the Jews are calling for food and money and help for them worldwide immediately. But the Jews won't do the same for the white children. Look closely at the world that we live in. Look very carefully at the opinions that come out of the mouths of all these talking heads, the radio announcers, the people on TV, the people in the mass media, the scum mass media. And go and look at all the opinions there. Look very carefully and see how many of these opinions are in a subtle way anti-white and in a subtle way pro-Jewish, if not ravingly pro-Jewish. Oh, the Holocaust, the Holocaust. Oh, never again, never again. Nazis, Nazis, kill the Nazis. Now, let me explain to you what John Tyndall did. So John Tyndall started a political party. I think it was called the National Front. And it didn't do that well, but it lived for quite a time, etc. Then came a time where John Tyndall created a new political party called the BNP, the British National Party. He creates this BNP, and the BNP is starting to rock and roll. The BNP is starting to win, and the British, the sheep-like, herd-like British, who never stand up to Jews and who are always cowering at the feet of the Jews, these whites are starting to like this thing, the British National Party. The British National Party is starting to rock and roll. Officially, the British National Party is standing up for nationalism, quotes nationalism, but everybody knows that deep down inside they're also racists. So the British National Party is starting to rock and roll. It's starting to win. It's starting to move forward. So the British National Party was the last creation of John Tyndall, and it was his most successful. So the British National Party, rocking and rolling, it's starting to change British politics. Finally, the British are coming out. They're starting to vote. Then a series of events take place that cause problems for the British National Party. But also, very quietly, I notice somebody new pitches up on the scene. Out of nowhere comes a new political party, and it's called UKIP. And if you look at UKIP, you see, oh my goodness, UKIP is saying everything that the British National Party used to say. Everything, except one thing. UKIP is Jew-friendly. UKIP is the British National Party minus anything that annoyed the Jews. So suddenly UKIP is there. And UKIP's got money, and Jews are in UKIP. The British National Party gets hit with one problem after another, while UKIP, giving out 90% of the same message, minus all the versions, the subtle things that the Jews didn't like, the overt and covert things that the Jews didn't like, and UKIP now starts moving upwards. Suddenly also, for the first time ever, I hear of a new form of nationalism. The new form of nationalism is called civic nationalism. And you'll find that this civic nationalism is a watered-down version of nationalism, and it's been carefully edited to remove any anti-Jewish element that could be in there. And the British National Party, to my knowledge, pretty much then fades away into nothingness. And people can't understand, you know, why did it disappear? Now, UKIP currently is not that strong because there's a new thing on the scene called the Brexit Party. And I heard from friends who are Jew-wise that Brexit Party is driven by a lot of Freemasons. So wherever there are Freemasons, there are also Jews. So they're busy with that thing. Basically, the way that politics works in the Western world is you'll see that there are all kinds of disadvantages that white people have in their own so-called democracies, or in the case of America, which is actually not a democracy, it's actually a republic, but nobody ever talks about that. But let's just use the term democracy to just represent the Western world. In the Western world, if the common white man wants to engage in politics, there are various hurdles he's got to overcome. And like most things in the so-called free Western world, you will find that the common people are at a disadvantage. The common people have got the numbers, they've got the votes, but they lack other unspoken things that are also needed. And these other things are things that just quietly get sort of ignored. But these are proper levers and roadblocks that stand in the way of anybody moving forward. In the age before the internet, you couldn't move forward unless radio, TV, or the mass media, all of which is controlled by the rich, unless they give you a break. Otherwise, you can exist, you can talk to people, you can spread your message on the street, you'll have a couple of hundred supporters, maybe a few thousand at best, but you can't move forward. Why? Because you don't get the big publicity. And whites everywhere across the world still believe that you can become an overnight success. I'm absolutely convinced that literally every example in any area of life, that virtually any example of overnight success, whether it's becoming rich, becoming famous, etc., that virtually in every case, there's a Jew pulling the strings. That success itself and the concept of success is actually controlled by Jews. That Jews are the quiet kingmakers of any nation. Jews are busy using their mass media to knock down people they don't like while lifting up all their stooges. And all you have to do is study the newspapers, study the mass media, and you'll see. You'll see the whites who start taking the heat. You'll see the campaigns aimed at destroying a person. That man, they don't like that man, so they go after him. And then some other punk who's an idiot, but you'll see them constantly lifting this fool up. And so it goes on. I'm absolutely convinced that most instant success, overnight success, across the entire Western world, including becoming rich, becoming a billionaire, etc., that virtually all of this is controlled by people pulling strings behind the scenes. That they decide, you see that person over there? That person needs to be moved up. That person is good for our image. That's going to work for us. I'll give you a simple example. I was looking at music. Katy Perry is a big name in music. And if you go and you look into her history, you'll see that she even comes from a Christian background. She even did Christian music. And she tried to do many things to get into the music business. And clearly she's very talented, make no mistake. But she wasn't getting anywhere until she did a song called I Kissed a Girl. So now you have a song with a lesbian angle. Bang! Suddenly she's big name. I knew a Boer in America, a guy from South Africa. He left South Africa. He went to America, lived there for 30 years, became very successful in the USA, loves the USA. This guy came to see me in South Africa at one time because of African crisis, and he wanted to support me. And when I traveled to America in 2010, he came to meet me and he took me around to some places in Atlanta. He told me that he went to meet Ted Turner, Ted Turner of CNN. And he told me that Ted Turner was a bit of a strange character. I suspect that there are people who've become famous who actually have got somewhat slightly different views to what you think they have. However, they tried success in different ways, but only when it got the Jewish stamp of approval did they get actual success. This boer told me that Ted Turner used to actually have a conservative right-wing type of thing that he was pushing in the 1970s, and he wasn't very successful. And then he created CNN. Then he went all liberal. And the moment he went liberal, bang, success came. Now, of course, how much of success is due to the mood of the people, and how much of it is due to the elite and the Jews pulling strings behind the scenes? This is where you have to get into a deeper analysis and you have to look much more closely. One of the things I will tell you, which I will return to again later, is that Jews play a massive role in what I would call the cultural war, cultural values. Remember, Christianity is what you could call Judaism light. It's a form of Judaism, but it's for the masses. It's for the non-Jews. Christianity is a religion that worships Jews. Some Christians will say, oh no, they weren't Jews, they were Hebrews. There's a difference and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into the semantics of that. But we do know that Abraham was a Jew. We know Jesus was a Jew. The bottom line is you're looking at a history of Jews, probably a fake history of Jews, actually, of fake Jewish heroes. But be that as it may, you're looking at a religion that worships these people. So my point is that because you've got a thing like Christianity, you've already got people thinking, they're these good Jews. There's this good Jew, Jesus. He came to save us all. He died for our sins on the cross. So you've already got a religious thing that's making you accept that there's a good Jew. But deeper inside culture itself, there are other Jewish values that are seeping in and among whites that are being spread by the mass media. Until now, you get to the point where it gets totally out of hand and now you're busy accepting pedophiles and sex changes and 72 forms of gender and all that nonsense. But where does that come from? That didn't come from whites. It comes from the hidden element sitting inside whites, the Jews inside, who are busy filtering out the constant values for us. And these Jews are telling us, no, Nazis are bad. No, racism is evil. You mustn't be racist. And that is the steady drumbeat that comes out from this hidden thing inside our culture. So the Jews are winning, not just because they control the purse strings of political parties, but they're also actually creating a whole cultural layout. They are setting the scene for the values that white people everywhere will be accepting as reality. Jews are telling you what is good for you, but the values that the Jews are actually pushing towards you quietly with their steady drumbeat is actually what's good for them. They're telling you to do what is good for them. And you think, yeah, this is good for me. They tell you, Nazism is bad. Oh, no, I mustn't be a Nazi. Racism is bad. No, I can't be a racist. I may be white and my people may be getting killed and all kinds of non-whites are coming into my country. I've lost control of my politics. my farmers are being murdered, but no, racism is bad. You are taking on the values that they are giving you. Racism isn't bad for you. In fact, you should be racist. You should be defending your own people. You should be saying, anybody who attacks my people, I'm going to defend them. But you don't. You don't, because you've been told, you've been conditioned. No, racism is bad. Defending your people is evil. Leave these good black people to cut those people's throats. They're just being natural. You're being unnatural. And off you go. But returning to politics, while the Jews may be setting the soft scene on a bigger scale in terms of religion, values, moral values, cultural values, the Jews also come in with the hardcore stuff. They come in, the political party needs funds. To do anything political requires a lot of money. I assure you, I've been involved with other people who've tried. I've even helped Zimbabweans, black Zimbabweans in the early days of my political stuff, and I was trying to help them to do things. And I saw that money, you need money, lots of money. You cannot do any form of politics. Any form of politics anywhere in the Western world, whether it's from South Africa to Europe to America, you cannot do any form of politics without a lot of money. Let me tell you, to bring people together, to organize events, all this costs big cash. And the Jew is sitting there, he's busy funding. And then the other thing is you need the publicity. So everybody sits and waits. Oh, when's the newspaper going to notice me? Or let me talk to this newspaper. Let me send out press releases to different newspapers. And then you see whether the newspapers support you. But maybe the Jews have already whispered in somebody's ear and said, okay, listen, editor, you need to push that thing. That's one of our things. Push that. And then they go and they push that. So in Western politics, you need money. And you need publicity. And if you don't have those things, you're not going to become big. Running around getting a few donations from your few hundred supporters isn't going to allow you to take on the big political parties. In walk the Jewish businessmen, liberals, Freemasons, and assorted scum, and they're busy giving big money to these other organizations. Just like in South Africa, Jews and communists and liberals get huge amounts of cash. Huge amounts of cash flow in directly to them. You think that elections are just about voting. No, we're just going to vote. No, there's a whole mechanism that you have to set up. You have to organize people. You have to build up your supporter base. You've got to get money. You've got to have offices. You've got to do a whole bunch of things. These things cost a lot of money. And if you don't have rich donors, you're not going to go anywhere. And you will find that the Jews are rushing in and they're taking part in all these things. And they channel their money into these things and they start pushing the very things they want to push. In the age of the internet, I think the Jews are moving to the next level of mimicking. And they've noticed that what you now have is in this age, you've got individuals who, because they can get some publicity on the internet, that these individuals can become big. And so they've seen that, you know, some little girl gets out there, like Evalian, who did her Hitler and Jewish videos, Evalian in Canada. Evalian got 20 million people to listen to her discussions about Hitler. So now I think what they're doing is that they are faking the next level of success. They know that now there are common people who can become pop stars, if you will, overnight. And so they need to mimic them. So you'll see all kinds of strange people popping up. And just like the UKIP BNP thing, you'll see these funny people popping up. And they'll start saying nationalist stuff, racist stuff, etc. But if you look very carefully, you'll see the things that are missing. A simple example is American Renaissance, Jared Taylor. Jared Taylor will talk about race. He'll talk about race. He'll talk about IQ. He'll tell you that blacks are dumber than whites. He will go and he'll make all his arguments about race, inheritance, IQ, and the differences between whites and others. However, he will never discuss the Jewish issue because he allows Jews into his setup. There are Jews who are supporting him. I think his wife may even be Jewish. But if you go and you look, you'll see somebody come up with something that looks almost the same as what you're used to, but it's missing a number of points. In Canada, you'll get this guy Jordan Peterson, and he'll also start saying some kind of right-wing type weird stuff. He's not truly right-wing, he's not truly racial, but he says something that is definitely more, let's call it conservative or right-wing. But you'll find that the moment he talks about the Germans, you'll see this seething hatred for Germans, this endless seething hatred for Germans. And then I say to myself, now what is your game? Who do you belong to? And nowadays, there seem to be all sorts of young personalities popping up, and they're starting to move around. And you need to start looking at who's behind who. At the end of the day, you've got to keep looking who's behind what. Where are they being funded from? So it's a mind game that you're now playing. But this story of the British National Party and UKIP, this story plays itself out constantly in Western politics. You will find that in Germany, for example, that Merkel controls a political party that's sort of Christian. But the real political party that's really pro-German is a thing called the AfD. I think it's the Alternative für Deutschland, something like that. And they are like truly for Germany. But you'll see, they are like the BNP of Germany. They're not going anywhere. You'll also see various people coming up, and then they'll come out with a seething hatred of Muslims or a great love of Israel. And then you'll see, oh, look at that guy. He's so fantastic. And then you look more closely and you'll see, oh, okay, he's a Zionist. A guy in the Netherlands, in Holland, a guy who does that sort of thing is Geert Wilders, or Geert Wilders. I don't know how you pronounce his name. But he's like that. He's a total Jew lover. And then on that topic, he loses his mind. He's a total Muslim hater and everything. But go and look more closely. You'll see that even when the whites move to the right, that suddenly new personalities, new parties pop up, and you've got to go and look more closely and see, okay, is the hand of the Jew there? Now, if you go and you look at America, where Jews are funding both sides and every other side they can find, where you've got the old Jewish communist, Bernie Sanders, pushing communism in 2020 still, you will find the Jews in the Democratic Party. The Jews raised $1 billion for the first black president of America. They also went and hid all his details of his origins, the fact that he comes from Kenya, the fact that he's actually not an American. So the Jews helped to manufacture a black president of America who actually was illegally the president of America. He is not an American. It is in the American Constitution that the president of America must be born in America. He must be an American. And yet Obama broke all those rules. And everything was hidden away. And it was done because Jews liked it. They wanted to push the first black president of America. But if you go closer and you look at trends in American politics, you'll see other things. You'll see the Republicans who decades ago used to be the sort of white right, standing up against communism, standing up for Western civilization. And if you go and look at them over a period of time, you'll find that, yes, they are still conservatives. They're still Christian believing, Western saving conservatives. But if you actually look at their actual party platform, you'll see that most of it has been disemboweled. Most of it's gone. They are actually multiculturalist liberals. If you go back into the past, you'll see how their whole platform has moved to the left. And that is another trend in the Western world. The political platforms are constantly moving to the left. The Overton window is shifting. I'm going to return to the Overton window and what the Overton window is and why it's critically important. I've spoken to people in different countries, whites who are awake in different countries, and they come out and they tell you similar stories, like the story that I'm elaborating about Britain and also Germany, the AfD versus the others. In every country, in every white country, you'll find that there's somebody who's actually quite racist and they're trying to get into politics and defend white people. You'll find it across the Western world, and every one of them is quietly sidelined. One of the greatest successes of modern times was Golden Dawn in Greece. Golden Dawn were basically Nazis, and Golden Dawn tried to get into politics. They got into politics, they were the most successful right-wing group in the whole of the Western world, and they then were set up for destruction. Then the Jews came and people were put in prison on fake charges. They were thrown into jail and all kinds of other moves were made. You'll also find that in countries even like Hungary, where you get Jobbik in power, I seem to recall that several years ago, Jobbik, which is in power, that Jobbik was not actually. I'm not quite sure if I've got my facts right, but I seem to recall there were two political parties in Hungary. Both of them were talking against the Jews. One was genuine and one was fake. And I almost think it was the softer one that got into power. I'm not totally sure. I may be wrong, but I do recall that there were two, and one was really hardcore. They were determined whites. And then you'll see that they were pipped at the post by somebody with a softer attitude. In every white country, you will find there are whites who are racists. There are whites who are willing to defend their country. There are whites who are willing to fight for their country. There are whites who are willing to fight for their race. And you will see in every single one of them, they are destroyed. And like I say, in modern times, in the age of the internet, in the last 10 years, Golden Dawn was the most amazing thing in white politics. And Golden Dawn has now been smashed and neutered and so forth. The moment these political parties arise, the Jews and the rich start getting in there. They start pulling the strings. They start doing things. And the next thing you know is those people are destroyed. And their private efforts are smashed. And the people are demoralized and beaten. And you'll see this everywhere in the right wing. And the thing that people don't think about is they don't realize that in order to succeed in politics, you need a bunch of things. You need publicity. You need money. If one group gets more publicity than another group, that group by default is going to do better. If a big newspaper runs a story and it takes even a stupid political party and it puts it on the front page, it gets lots of exposure. And that can help it a lot. And you could have another party that's got a brilliant platform, but they never get the exposure. There are lots of things in this so-called free world that are unfair to the common white. The common white is hamstringed in so many ways. You will see in America that American politics is only about money. It is whoever can pour the biggest war chest of money into advertising, campaigning, etc., and it just goes up and up and up. The common person doesn't stand a chance. The common person has all kinds of things against him. The rich and the elite have got the power and they use it. But they tell you, oh no, you see, the country is free. And then you'll see these Jewish billionaires popping in and billionaires starting to come with their dirty Jewish money. And you'll see all these whites fawning over the money. And the Jews, meanwhile, telling them, you know, you can have my money. And here are all the strings attached. It is actually even ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous that white people living in white countries where whites are a majority, that whites do not have that money. That money is actually sitting in a whole bunch of Jewish monopolies and oligopolies. And you'll see all these people fawning over these filthy, dirty Jews. And you'll see these white politicians suddenly becoming whores for Jewish money, because that is one of the unspoken secrets. You can't function in a huge democracy without a lot of money. Meanwhile, the common white thinks, oh, well, the system is working perfectly. All I need to do is just go and do my little bit. I'll just go and vote at the elections. You know, let me go read the New York Times and see, you know, which political parties are there. And he goes and he sees the political parties and the Jewish approval of them. And he says, oh, you see, that political party, they are so good. Meanwhile, there's about 50 other hidden political parties that you don't know about that exist. And I found that in various Western countries, you'll be astounded at the political parties that have been created. Nazi parties in America, Canada, and these people don't have money, they don't have anything, and the system works against them and they're destroyed. The notion that politics is in some way free and fair is junk. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that goes into this. It's unspoken, it's not mentioned, but it's an actual fact, and if you don't have it, you can't really stand a chance. And if you go and you look, you'll see Jews, Freemasons, the elite. They're all running around, busy pulling all these strings all the time. And the common white person just sits and says, oh, why am I not getting popular? Why is my message not out there? Oh, look at that guy. He's got a message almost the same as mine, but it's minus all the stuff that I spoke about, race and Jews and what have you. And notice he's getting millions. It's just pouring in, you know, income. Millionaires and billionaires, and they're just writing out checks. So business plays a huge role in controlling politics, and it's not a fair playing field. And whites are not allowed to have their own views. You still have an elite playing a massive role in determining who gets to win. There's a whole process, and they just come in with money. They go and they find some whore, give him money, and say to him, listen, you get in there, you say almost the same stuff as John Tyndall, except leave this and this and this and this out. We'll call it civic nationalism, and that's what you're going to go with. And you'll see that any one of these new things, that it's like something that's been disemboweled. The Jews have come, they've looked at this thing, and they've quickly had a good look at what this political party is saying, and they say, oh, well, you see, that we don't like, that we don't like, that we don't like. Take this out, take that out, take that out. Okay, now we like it. You can have everything except this and this and this and this, and you'll always see it's a lot of it's a similar stuff. It's racism, all these kinds of things. You can't stand up for whites, etc. And you'll see these people come in, and then they come with their new idea, and it's sometimes got a fancy name, and it sounds like a bunch of professors thought it up, but you'll see it's like something that's been disemboweled, or it's like a man who's had his balls cut off, he's been castrated, and now his main message is gone. And so he's not allowed to speak. And so the real bulk and thrust of his main message is now gone. And you'll see, they are able to recreate these things, And then whites are looking around and they're saying, oh, these things are just popping up naturally without actually going and looking at who's pulling the fucking strings. Where's the money coming from? Where's this thing coming from? How come that guy suddenly got this huge campaign? Let me tell you, democracy is all about money and all about publicity. And it's not fair for the white person. The common white person, he thinks, oh, you know, all I have to do is go and walk the streets and tell my message and I'll be a super success within a year. And I can tell you that it's not one white person who's done that. It's probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of whites who've done these things. You don't know their names. They all failed because they didn't have these things. And the same thing is true for becoming a millionaire, multimillionaire, billionaire. I'm telling you, there's a process whereby if you do not fit, if you do not fit into the culture that they want, you won't be allowed to arise. No matter if you're defending your own people. There are hidden strings out there. Don't imagine, oh, it's free, therefore it's fair. No, it's not fair. But the other side of the coin is, you can deal in this situation, you can live in a country, and you need to understand that you need to build up all the structures that you need in order for you to win. Can we win by ourselves? We could. The first thing we would need is our own mass media pumping out and pushing our people and giving our people publicity. The next thing we need is we need to find ways to get money to our people so that they can go out and do the thing. So we could compete with the elite, but again, we'd have to pick up the bits and pieces here and there. And just finally, I've spoken to whites in different countries who've looked at it. I've got friends in Denmark. They've looked at their political parties. They've told me, man, our politics controlled by Jews. Totally Jew-controlled, 100% Jew-controlled. Anybody who stands up against the Jews gets taken down. I had the chance to speak to a Swedish journalist. She worked for a big newspaper owned by a Jewish woman. And she told me how she wrote something racial once. And she wanted to put this article out. And her Jewish boss said to her, well, you see, I have a bit of a problem with that article that you wrote there. You need to change it. And so she said to her Jewish boss, no, everything I've written is good. It's dead on. It's accurate. Her Jewish boss came back to her and said, give me the article again. I just want to show you a few of the things you need to change. So she gave it to her. Couple of days later, the article comes back, basically castrated by the Jewish owner, and she sees that basically the guts of the article has been ripped out, and the Jewish owner says to her, you know, that she prefers this. I think the Jewish owner then published this version of the article. And then shortly thereafter, her Jewish boss came to her and said to her, goodbye, I don't need you anymore. You know, thank you very much and goodbye. There are many things that are going on in this world that you are not seeing. And I heard this straight out of the mouth of a woman from Sweden, Swedish journalist. I assure you, white people across the entire Western world deep down are racist, patriotic, nationalist, and they don't want other people screwing up their societies. I used to believe that all whites are crazily liberal, they are insane, they're all mad, and they're all liberal. My own travels and discussions with people, I've come to be of the view that the reality is different, that there are lots and lots of very sane, very caring, very patriotic, very loyal whites all across the Western world. And they live and work in all kinds of cities, all kinds of occupations. There are good, genuine white people out there, vast numbers of them. But slowly, slowly, this system sees to it that their viewpoints, their nationalism, their natural defense of racism is curtailed. It is stopped. It is betrayed and destroyed. Don't imagine that white people across the world are free. They are being pushed and herded into the direction the Jews want. What white people should really start doing is look at how the world works. Don't listen to the arguments as much as the consequences. Look at the consequences of things and then observe what is being pushed and what are the consequences of it. Much of the time, not all the time, but much of the time, the people creating the basic lines of thinking know what the consequences will be. And so they say, oh, well, you see, we got to do this thing this way and that way, and we got to stand up for this and be against that and support this, etc. And they know already that it's like herding cattle, that if you have this point and that point and that point and that point, that you're going to be able to drive people in a certain direction. And they know it up front. They know the consequences, more or less. And they know the direction they want to push things. So you've got to be aware of that, that we are being herded like cattle. And you've got to stop listening always to the reasons and look at the consequences. And that'll give you an idea. Is this person a piece of malicious shit? Is this yet another whore for Jewish money, etc.? Who is this fucking puppet who's jumping up and down here? Who's behind him? And you've got to go and look at those things. These are the critical things to look at. And I will tell you from my own investigations of people, my studies of whites, especially after World War II, I want to tell you there are lots and lots and lots of good white people who've gone down the drain. You've never even heard their names because the Jewish mass media, all the bought intellectuals, all of these people ignored these people. There are people who've lived, who've tried very hard to help our race. They've done really good work. In some cases, they've been killed in their attempts to stand up for white people. They've died. They've given their lives for us. And you don't even know their names. Why? Because those people were moving in on the real stuff. And they had to be stopped. And the system quietly pushed them into a corner and destroyed them. Don't think that all white people are stupid. Don't think that all white people are a bunch of idiots who just want to jump off the edge of a cliff. There are deeper reasons that are driving them. In America, I'm going to return to the topic of business and the unbelievable weaknesses of capitalism. Capitalism has got unbelievable levels of weakness. And it allows whites to just freaking literally throw themselves off the cliff. It's crazy how weak capitalism can be, how weak money can be. It is not a source of strength, it is a source of weakness. And it totally is destroying America itself. And it plays a role in all countries. We've got to be careful about all these different things. But look more closely at politics and start seeing who is a shill for the Jews. Who is the paid lackey, the nobody who was pushed by Jewish money and he suddenly is somebody, oh yes, he's a good guy. Meanwhile, there's somebody 10 times better than him with no money and that person never gets a chance in the world. And some of those people are even dead. And watch, every single political system that comes out, every single new political idea, go and look at it. See what it contains, and then see what it doesn't contain. I assure you, the rich, the Jews, the scum are at work. It is also possible that certain portions of the elite are themselves fooled by the Jews. That is a whole other topic, that they themselves are misled by other concepts that Jews have created. Jews play a massive role in values, cultural values, religious values, setting the scene. They are busy removing things that they don't want and pushing out things that they do want. And white people are living in this sea of Jewish ideas without even realizing it. And then they say, yeah, that's good, that's good. They know nothing about their history. They don't know anything about their past. And then the Jew comes and says, oh, you see, there are 72 forms of gender. You should tolerate this. And you know what? It's not that bad when a man has sex with another man. It's not that bad when there are lesbians. Yes, let the gays adopt little white children. And hey, you white man and white woman, stop having so many children. Cut that out now. Go and look at all these little messages that are out there. Open your eyes, look around you, and look around you critically. And look at other countries critically. And start talking to your friends. You will see white people are not that screwed up. It's the system that's screwed up. And there you'll find who's tiptoeing around, busy pulling the levers here, filling up the bank accounts there. And you'll just see a whole string of Jews, my friend. They are controlling democracy. Yes, yes, we're going to spread democracy around the world. This is going to go and kill those Arabs because they need a good dose of democracy. And then in comes this system. This is the system that's being created. But the critical thing for white people is, why is this system busy fucking up my country? Why is this system busy killing me and my family? Why is this system killing white men, killing white women? Why is this system preventing white children? That's the thing we need to look at. We need to say, this system's got to go. If you're going to stop us expanding and living, then we white people, we got a problem with you. You're going to stop us living, we might stop you from living. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.